Ni hao gang. Qin nian kuai le. I said, no. How do you say it? Qin nian kuai.
Hongguo xin nian kuai le.
Okay, I said it right. All right. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is the moon unit of free speech. Moon unit? Really? Moon unit? There was a Chinese moonshot that went to the moon, and there was, what was the rover that was called? Something like Rabbit? Something Rabbit? And it would communicate back to the home base, and it explored, and then it ran out of batteries, and a lot of Chinese people were sad because their rabbit unit, their rabbit moon unit, was running out of batteries. Do you remember that?
Haven't looked into it that much, but
okay.
Yeah, I mean, China's sending missions to the moon now.
Yep. Well, anyway, speaking of the moon, it is Lunar New Year's. Lunar New Year's, which is the Chinese New Year. And so we're going to have a bit of a Lunar New Year's themed show. And there's a lot of food that people eat at Lunar New Year's. There's mooncakes, right?
Mooncakes, you can, but they're normally eaten at the other holiday, at the Full Moon Festival.
Okay.
At the 6 months from now.
Are they kosher?
No, I don't think so.
Can they be?
I'm sure.
Can they be kosher certified?
Well, I guess it just depends on wherever the ingredients come from.
But you want them to be kosher certified?
You do. I don't know if they look into it.
I wouldn't want them to be kosher. I would rather have non-kosher certified mooncakes.
I'm sorry, that's what I meant. You don't want them.
That's right. Of course not.
Yeah.
Okay. And that is my segue into recommending people download the Kosher Certified app, because if there's one way to find out your whether your mooncakes are non-kosher certified, it would be the Kosher Certified app. So you want to do that. Download it. You'll be glad you did. It's fun. Come on. Get with it. All right. So this Chinese New Year is going to be Tuesday, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Tuesday.
And it's a new moon, right? Not a full moon, right?
Right, it's a new moon. That's why it's the new year.
It's a new year. It's a new moon. So, and a new moon means no moon, basically. You don't see the moon.
Exactly.
And so that will be February 1st. So it's not necessarily in January. It's not necessarily the first full moon. The first new moon would have been maybe, what, around the 3rd of January. But anyway, it's always around this time of year, right? Late January, maybe early February, mid to late January, early February, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's usually, late January, early February.
Which means that unlike the Muslim New Year, they must add in, like, some lunar years must have 13 months, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's based on the cycles of the moon.
Yeah. And typically you would have 12, but every now and then you're going to have 13, so that the New Year's remains in the winter. Unlike the Islamic year, which is just 12 lunar months, but it doesn't add up to 365 days. And so the Ramadan just kind of cycles through the seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, yeah, with that said, I want to say to all my Chinese listeners here, 中国新年快乐, and to all the Cantonese, 恭喜发财.
That actually sounded very Cantonese. Okay, yeah, because that oi sound, that oi, you don't really hear that in Mandarin, but you hear it a lot in Cantonese.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Fa choy. You also, in Cantonese, you'll hear T's and K's at the end of syllables, which you don't hear in Mandarin. All right, well, I know you've got some things prepared. We've got a few clips we're going to listen to.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so before we get into that, I just want to make a suggestion, too, for Chinese New Year celebration. Obviously, you know, go out and eat as much Chinese food as you can. There's plenty of Chinese food everywhere. But I also want to make a recommendation that you tune into CCTV's Spring Festival Gala that happens every year. If you're sick and tired of seeing all the junk and all the degeneracy on American television, and you're sick and tired of all the filth and the diversity that they put on, I want you to tune in to I'd like you to tune in to CCTV Spring Festival Gala, which is a performance of Chinese skits and Chinese performances expressing Chinese culture and the Chinese peoples, the Chinese people. And it's really epic. It's really good. You can just go on YouTube, type in CCTV Spring Festival Gala. The new one should be coming out in a few days, but there's also the one in 2021, which was the year of the ox. This year is the year of the tiger. 2021 was the year of the ox. Most epic performance I've ever seen. Dr. Duke, he does mention, talk about the Beijing 2008 Olympics and how he enjoyed that performance. Well, if he thought that that was really spectacular, this performance is shadows that one. It eclipses it. Just the finest expression of Chinese civilization and Chinese peoples and Chinese culture. And I really recommend.
What's in the show? Is there dancing, music? What's in the show?
It's everything. You got dancing. You got comedy. Of course, it's in Chinese, so the comedy. It's I find it very funny. But obviously, most of the English listeners don't speak Chinese, so I would, fast forward through those parts and just watch the dance and just watch the shows. And I mean, it's really epic. And as a Chinese person, it makes me proud to be Chinese, to be part of this great civilization. That's my recommendation to all the RBN listeners, is to go watch that Spring Festival Gala, CCTV.
Okay.
And I've 2021.
I've watched some Chinese dance exhibitions and all, and I always enjoy it. Now, you, in some cities, you will see advertisements for Shenyuan, which is... Shenyuan is probably pretty well done, but what is Shenyuan?
They are run by that deranged cult, Falun Gong. Stay the hell away from those people. Avoid those people like the plague. They basically use the money they get to essentially call for anti-CCP, anti-Chinese government. They call for the overthrow of the Chinese government. And if that's not treason, I don't know what is. But they are a deranged cult. They are used by the American Empire to try to attack China. So stay away from them as much as you can. I mean, completely, just as much as you can, completely.
You know, normally I would kind of push back at that because, whatever. They might still put on a good dance show and, But I know people. I know white American people who've gotten involved in that. There are regular old, I've never met a black person, but there are certainly regular American white people who get it. Because let's face it, there's a massive crisis in white culture. There's a massive crisis in white society. And a lot of people are looking for meaning somewhere, right? And, if, let's just say maybe you grew up in a Christian church. Well, what is there? Look, I mean, I think there's a lot to find in Christianity, but let's just say you grew up in one of these churches that is flying the rainbow flags and is all into that and is, kind of turning its back on its own theological traditions and or maybe it's embracing Christian Zionism. I mean, it seems like a big hunk of the Christian churches are embracing a weird Christian Zionism, warlike Christian Zionism, and then another big hunk are they're just like celebrating diversity, including sexual gender diversity, and flying Black Lives Matter flags. So there's this big crisis, and there are people who are looking outside of traditional European or Christian traditions. And, you know, like, it's for a long time, people have been looking at Buddhism, and Falun Gong offers itself up as a form of Buddhism. I don't really think it's very Buddhist, frankly, myself, but it has attracted regular white American people. So, yeah, I mean, the dance show is probably a pretty good dance show, but just stay at home and watch the CCTV one.
Yeah, exactly. That one's way better. And then here's the thing. I mean, just remember, the same people who are behind the Christian Zionism and the global homo, you know, gay anal degenerate Christian, you know, Christian, you know, mainline Christian churches, the same people who are behind those two screwed up versions of Christianity are the same people who are also promoting Falun Gong and this Sun Yin, whatever, this you know, absolute farce.
Sun Yin.
Yeah. It's just, but no, watch the CCTV performances. That one's way better. Again, it's on YouTube. You can just type in CCTV Spring Festival Gala 2021. It's in four parts. You know, just watch the first part. The first part, you know, you will be amazed. I almost guarantee it. You'll be amazed. So, it's, and then, of course, you know, 2022 is coming along, so tune into that one when it comes out. But yeah, just watch the CCTV one. That's true Chinese civilization right there, not this fake, you know, Western backed Sun Yin or whatever nonsense that is.
All I've seen is like little 5-second clips of people dancing around, and you know, it looks fine. It looks like what I'm familiar. I am familiar with Chinese dance. All right, so where are we going first?
All right, so there's this Chinese patriotic businessman. This patriotic businessman in China, which, you know, just the concept of a patriotic businessman is so strange to the American people. It's like, when was the last time we had a patriotic businessman? You know, it was probably in the early 20s. You know, Henry Ford was, you know, probably one of the few that I can think of. But in China, you know, they actually have businessmen who are patriotic, loyal to their nation, to their people, instead of to money. And one of these patriotic businessmen, his name is Eric Li. Mm-hmm. So Eric Li, he is an investor, you know, an investor type, and he does, you know, have various businesses, and he's very successful. But the thing with Eric Li is he's done a couple of talks many talks on various forums, you know, worldwide forums. And he, you know, he talks about basically the delusion of this, you know, kind of this linear ideological system, how it has to be. You know, he attacks essentially both communism and liberalism and says that they're both wrong. And what he's really promoting is, even though he doesn't say exactly, but he's really promoting third positionism, or the third way, which is neither this liberal capitalism.
I just want to clarify, third position and third way, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think they're two different things. Third position, I mean, Kevin MacDonald was starting a party at one point, Kevin MacDonald and some other people, called the American Third Position Party. So the third position party would be something that somebody like Kevin MacDonald would be into, very nationalist. I think the term third way was something that emerged in the 1990s. I could be mistaken, but I think it was like people like Bill Clinton and Tony Blair, who came from supposedly left-wing parties, but it was kind of like centrist. It was kind of triangulating. It was very neoliberal. I think that's third way, as opposed to like in Britain, for instance, you had the traditional conservatives, and then you had a kind of Marxist-hued Labor Party. The third way was just kind of like this neoliberal in between.
Oh well, hell no! It's definitely not the third. It's
third
it's
position. Third position then is
yeah.
I think. Third,
yeah. Let's go with yeah. It's definitely yeah. It's very anti-neoliberal. It's the exact opposite of neoliberalism. In fact, like neoliberalism is the most destructive ideology that's ever taken root, you know, especially in the latter 20th century. It's just pure evil is what it is. So yeah, third position, it's anti neoliberals. So, but yeah, what Eric Lee, he's promoting third positionism, which is, you know, social nationalism, national socialism, you know, a form of corporatism, you know, state-regulated. I mean, corporatism is basically state-regulated or state-controlled capitalism, to where there's elements of capitalism, but it's, you know, not to the point where it overwhelms society. It's still controlled by the state, which is for the people. So
basically, you've got the state setting limits on the private sector, whereas in our system, we have the private sector in control of the state.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, sometimes you'll hear people talk about, oh, fascism, that is the merger of state and private power, state and corporate power. You might hear that. I heard Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s, he said he was quoting Mussolini. That was Mussolini's definition. I've also heard it described as Franklin Delano Roosevelt's definition. But the thing is, you can have a merger, but who's the controlling party? And if it is the state, and the state, as long as the state is acting on behalf of the people, and the state is controlling or setting limits on corporate power, that's one thing. It's a very different thing to have corporations acting for private interests capturing the state. That's a very different thing.
Yeah, exactly. What we have here is we have big business dictating to the state what to do, and big business buying out the state. Over there, we have the state putting checks and balances and controls on big business, so big business doesn't overwhelm the nation, and also helps, and as a result, also helps small businesses flourish and have a chance to compete. So what we have here is the exact opposite of what they have over there.
Mm-hmm.
Neoliberalism, neoliberal capitalism, whereas over there it's you know, corporatism, which is the state putting checks and balances on big business.
Right. And, you know, that's not that different from, say, the Ralph Nader tradition. And people might think, well, that's kind of pie in the sky. You really can't, like, corporate regulations, government regulations on business are always bad. That's a very libertarian mindset. And the thing is, regulations, they can be good or they can be bad. They can be effective or they can be ineffective. But, you know, the Ralph Nader position wasn't, you know, he was always thought of as being leftist, but it was never, we need to have a state-run, you know, a state-run economy or planning. It was just that you're going to have capitalism, you're going to have a private sector, you're going to have free enterprise, but you're going to have regulations such that the private sector will operate for the benefit of society and not simply to amass fortunes for a small number of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So,
okay, but so how long is this clip that we want to hear? Because we're coming up towards the first break.
So the clip itself is about 20, 25 minutes. This is him in 2012. He's at a TED conference, which, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of TED, but that's where he gave the talk. And he just goes in, he explains basically, you know, how he developed his thinking and what each one means. It's really fascinating. We can either listen to the whole thing in its entirety, or we could, you know, listen to it in clips and then analyze it. And we don't have to listen to the whole thing, just the important parts.
Okay. Well, we're going to be coming up on the break. When we come back, we are going to listen to a few parts of it and dissect it. It is very interesting. I heard it. And so we'll be right back. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry.
and a new app, CoSertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the CoSertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Okay, we're back, and so without further ado, we're going to play Ted Lee, and we'll stop here and there and talk about it.
Good morning. My name is Eric Lee, and I was born here. But nope, I wasn't born there. This was where I was born.
I'm just pausing for a second. He showed a picture of modern Shanghai. He said, this is where I was born, Eric Lee said that, not Ted Lee, I'm sorry, Eric Lee. And he shows a picture of Shanghai, and it's all modern with skyscrapers, and he says, no, this is where I was born. And he shows a picture of Shanghai from...
the Cultural Revolution.
Yeah, from the Cultural Revolution, which looked nothing like it, and it emphasizes the massive change. Okay, we'll keep going.
Shanghai at the height of the Cultural Revolution. My grandmother tells me that she heard the sound of gunfire along with my first cries. When I was growing up, I was told a story that explained all I ever needed to know about humanity. It went like this. All human societies develop in linear progression, beginning with primitive society, then slave society, feudalism, capitalism, socialism, and finally, guess where we end up? Communism! Sooner or later, all of humanity, regardless of culture, language, nationality, will arrive at this final stage of political and social development. The entire world's peoples be unified in this paradise on earth and live happily ever after. But before we get there, we're engaged in a struggle between good and evil. The good of socialism against the evil of capitalism, and the good shall triumph. That, of course, was the meta-narrative distilled from the theories of Karl Marx. And the Chinese bought it. We were taught that grand story day in and day out, It became part of us, and we believed in it. The story was a bestseller. About one-third of the entire world's population lived under that meta-narrative. Then the world changed overnight. As for me, disillusioned by the failed religion of my youth, I went to America and became a Berkeley hippie. Now, as I was coming of age, something else happened. As if one big story wasn't enough, I was told another one. This one was just as grand. It also claims that all human societies develop in linear progression towards a singular end. This one went as follows. All societies, regardless of culture, be it Christian, Muslim, Confucian, must progress from traditional societies in which groups are the basic units to modern societies in which atomized individuals are the sovereign units. And all these individuals are, by definition, rational. And they all want one thing, the vote. Because they're all rational, once given the vote, they produce good government and live happily ever after. Paradise on earth again. Sooner or later, electoral democracy will be the only political system for all countries and all peoples, with a free market to make them all rich. But before we get there, we're engaged in a struggle between good and evil. The good belongs to those who are democracies and are charged with the mission of spreading it around the globe, sometimes by force, against the evil of those who do not hold elections.
A new world order.
Ending tyranny in our world.
A single standard for all who would hold power.
Now, this story also became a bestseller. According to the Freedom House, the number of democracies went from 45 in 1970 to 115 in 2010. In the last 20 years, Western elites tirelessly trotted around the globe selling this prospectus. Multiple parties fight for political power and everyone voting on them as the only path to salvation to the long-suffering developing world. Those who buy the prospectus are destined for success. Those who do not are doomed to fail. But this time, the Chinese didn't buy it. Fool me once. Now, the rest is history. In just 30 years, China went from one of the poorest agricultural countries in the world to its second largest economy. 650 million people were lifted out of poverty. 80% of the entire world's poverty alleviation during that period happened in China. In other words, all the new and old democracies put together amounted to a mere fraction of what a single one-party state did without voting. See, I grew up on this stuff, food stamps. Meat was rationed to a few hundred grams per person per month at one point. Needless to say, I ate all my grandmother's portions. So I asked myself, what's wrong with this picture? Here I am in my hometown, my business growing leaps and bounds, entrepreneurs are starting companies every day, middle class is expanding in speed and scale unprecedented in human history. Yet, according to the grand story, none of this should be happening. So I went and did the only thing I could. I studied it. Yes, China is a one-party state run by the Chinese Communist Party, the party, and they don't hold elections.
Okay, and we are coming up on the break, but we'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is really is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are back, and we're going to be getting back to Eric Lee's TED Talk in just a second. But, you know, I don't know him. I'm not familiar with him. But we make the exact same point about China and about, you know, what's been going on in China the past 30 years. This is from 2013. So by now we're talking about almost 40 years. And basically since Deng Xiaoping, you've had the China, the state, under the rule of the post-Mao Communist Party, and they have turned it from a dirt poor country, the dirt poor country that I saw, to a very wealthy country, which now arguably has already surpassed the United States. If it hasn't, it depends on what measure. I think purchasing price parity measure of GDP, it's already surpassed the United States. And it lifted more people out of poverty than any other government ever in human history. So there's a big success. He makes the exact same point. And now he's about to talk about the Chinese Communist Party. Do you have any comments before we proceed?
Shall we proceed?
Proceed.
Three assumptions are made by the dominant political theories of our time. Such a system is operationally rigid, politically closed, and morally illegitimate. Well, the assumptions are wrong. The opposites are true. Adaptability, meritocracy, and legitimacy are the three defining characteristics of China's one-party system. And most political scientists will tell us that a one-party system is inherently incapable of self-correction. It won't last long because it cannot adapt. Here are the facts. In 64 years of running the largest countries in the world, the range of the party's policies has been wider than any other country in recent memory. From radical land collectivization to the Great Leap Forward, then privatization of farmland, then the Cultural Revolution, then Deng Xiaoping's market reform, then successor Jiang Zemin took the giant political step of opening up party membership to private business people, something unimaginable during Mao's rule. So the party self-corrects in rather dramatic fashions. Institutionally, new rules get enacted to correct previous dysfunctions. For example, term limits. Political leaders used to retain their positions for life, and they used that to accumulate power and perpetuate their rules. Mao was the father of modern China, yet his prolonged rule led to disastrous mistakes. So the party instituted term limits with mandatory retirement age of 68 to 70. One thing we often hear is political reforms have lagged far behind economic reforms, and China's in dire need of political reform. But this claim is a rhetorical trap hidden behind a political bias. See, some have decided a priori what kinds of changes they want to see, and only such changes can be called political reform. The truth is, political reforms have never stopped. Compared with 30 years ago, 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, every aspect of Chinese society, how the country is governed from the most local level to the highest center, are unrecognizable today. Now, such changes are simply not possible without political reforms of the most fundamental kind. Now, I would venture to suggest the party is the world's leading expert in political reform. The second assumption is that in a one-party state, power gets concentrated in the hands of the few, and bad governance and corruption follow. Indeed, corruption is a big problem, but let's first look at the larger context. Now, this may be counterintuitive to you. The party happens to be one of the most meritocratic political institutions in the world today. China's highest ruling body, the Politburo, has 25 members. In the most recent one, only 5 of them came from background of privilege, so-called princelings. The other 20, including the president and the premier, came from entirely ordinary backgrounds. In the largest central committee of 300 or more, the percentage of those who were born into power and wealth was even smaller. The vast majority of senior Chinese leaders worked and competed their way to the top. Compare that with the ruling elites in both developed and developing countries, I think you'll find the party being near the top in upward mobility. The question then is, how could that be possible in a system run by one party? Now we come to a powerful political institution, little known to Westerners, the party's organization department. The department functions like a giant human resource engine that would be the envy of even some of the most successful corporations. It operates a rotating pyramid made up of 3 components: civil service, state-owned enterprises, and social organizations like a university or a community program. They form separate yet integrated career paths for Chinese officials. They recruit college grads into entry-level positions in all 3 tracks, and they start from the bottom, called keyuan. Then they could get promoted through 4 increasingly elite ranks: fu ke, ke, fu chu, and chu. Now, these are not moves from karate kids. Okay, it's serious business. The range of positions is wide, from running healthcare in a village to foreign investment in a city district to manager in a company. Once a year, the department reviews their performance. They interview their superiors, their peers, their subordinates. They vet their personal conducts. They conduct public opinion surveys. Then they promote the winners. Throughout their careers, these cadres can move through and out of all 3 tracks. Over time, the good ones move beyond the 4 base levels to the fu ju and ju levels. There, they enter high officialdom. By that point, a typical assignment will be to manage a district with population in the millions, or a company with hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue. Just to show you how competitive the system is, in 2012, there were 900,000 fu ke and ke levels, 600,000 fu chu and chu levels, and only 40,000 fu ju and ju levels. After the ju levels, the best few move further up several more ranks and eventually make it to the Central Committee. The process takes 2 to 3 decades. Does patronage play a role? Yes, of course. But merit remains the fundamental driver. In essence, the organization department runs a modernized version of China's centuries-old Mandarin system. China's new president, Xi Jinping, is son of a former leader, which is very unusual, first of his kind to make the top job. Even for him, the career took 30 years. He started as a village manager, and by the time he entered the Politburo, he had managed areas with total population of 150 million people and combined GDPs of $1.5 trillion. Now, please don't get me wrong, okay? This is not a put-down of anyone. It's just a statement of fact. George W. Bush, remember him? This is not a put-down. Before becoming governor of Texas, or Barack Obama before running for president, could not make even a small county manager in China's system. Winston Churchill once said that democracy is a terrible system except for all the rest. Well, apparently he hadn't heard of the organization department. Now, Westerners always assume that multi-party election with universal suffrage is the only source of political legitimacy. I was asked once, the party wasn't voted in by election. Where is the source of legitimacy? I said, how about competency?
Okay, I'm just going to stop for a second and introduce the notion of the mandate of heaven, which isn't a religious notion so much as when things are going well, it tends to mean that the leaders are doing a good job, right? And so the legitimacy in the Chinese system, yeah, China, it might have had legitimacy issues in the 50s or 60s. I mean, you could make the argument that having united China gave Mao some legitimacy after decades of civil war, that there's a certain amount of legitimacy that came from that. But the legitimacy of the current government comes from the massive success it's had in improving people's lives. Do you have anything to say before we finish this?
Let's continue.
Let's continue.
We all know the facts. In 1949, when the party took power, China was mired in civil wars, dismembered by foreign aggression. Average life expectancy at that time, 41 years old. Today, it's the second largest economy in the world, an industrial powerhouse, and its people live in increasing prosperity. Pew Research polls Chinese public attitudes, and here are the numbers in recent years. Satisfaction with the direction of the country, 85%. Those who think they're better off than 5 years ago, 70%. Those who expect the future to be better, a whopping 82%. Financial Times polls global youth attitudes, and these numbers, brand new, just came from last week. 93% of China's Generation Y are optimistic about their country's future. Now, if this is not legitimacy, I'm not sure what is.
Yeah, and I'm just stopping for a second. While he was reading those statistics on China, he had graphs up on the screen, and you could see the similar questions that were asked to Americans, Japanese, British, Germans, etc. And the Chinese people by far have the most faith in their system and the most optimism about the future, whereas these other countries, the other leading countries, to an extent, with the exception of Russia, which also had positive attitudes, but the so-called Western countries, no. There's a lot of foreboding about the future. Okay, we'll continue.
Yes. The liberal democracies.
Yeah.
Very negative views. Let's continue.
In contrast, most electoral democracies around the world are suffering from dismal performance. I don't need to elaborate for this audience how dysfunctional it is from Washington to European capitals. With a few exceptions, the vast number of developing countries that have adopted electoral regimes are still suffering from poverty and civil strife. Governments get elected, and then they fall below 50% approval in a few months and stay there and get worse until the next election. Democracy is becoming a perpetual cycle of elect and regret. At this rate, I'm afraid it is democracy, not China's one-party system, that is in danger of losing legitimacy. Now, I don't want to create the misimpression that China's hunky-dory on way to some kind of superpowerdom. The country faces enormous challenges. Social and economic problems that come with wrenching change like this are mind-boggling. Pollution is one. food safety, population issues. On the political front, the worst problem is corruption. Corruption is widespread and undermines the system and its moral legitimacy. But most analysts misdiagnose the disease. They say that corruption is a result of the one-party system, and therefore, in order to cure it, you have to do away with the entire system. But a more careful look would tell us otherwise. Transparency International ranks China between 70 and 80 in recent years among 170 countries, and it's been moving up. India, the largest democracy in the world, 94 and dropping. For the 100 or so countries that are ranked below China, more than half of them are electoral democracies. So if election is the panacea for corruption, how come these countries can't fix it? Now, I'm a venture capitalist. I make bets. It wouldn't be fair to end this talk without putting myself on the line and making some predictions. So here they are. In the next 10 years, China will surpass the U.S. and become the largest economy in the world. Income per capita will be near the top of all developing countries. Corruption will be curbed but not eliminated, and China will move up 10 to 20 notches to above 60 in TI ranking.
And it seems that those predictions have panned out. We're 9 years later, right?
Yeah, and one thing I want to say about the whole corruption thing is corruption is rampant in every government in the world. There's always going to be corruption. It's a matter of how you deal with the corruption. And as we've seen in, you know, the recent, you know, few years and even the recent few months, China under President Xi Jinping has been stamping out the corruption. In fact, there was a headline the other day, Bloomberg, that said I think around 60 steel manufacturer owners are going to be tried and arrested for faking the pollution numbers, faking the smog numbers from their factories. And yeah, there's already several hundred.
You said tried and executed?
No, not executed, just tried.
Okay, all right, okay. I don't know where that came from. All right. Okay, do you want to finish, listen to the rest of this? Just a couple minutes left?
Yeah, let's just finish the rest of it.
Economic reform will accelerate, political reform will continue, and the one-party system will hold firm. We live in the dusk of an era. Meta-narratives that make universal claims failed us in the 20th century and are failing us in the 21st. Meta-narrative is the cancer that is killing democracy from the inside. I want to clarify something. I'm not here to make an indictment of democracy. On the contrary, I think democracy contributed to the rise of the West and the creation of the modern world. It is the universal claim that many Western elites are making about their political system, the hubris, that is at the heart of the West's current ills. If they would spend just a little less time on trying to force their way onto others and a little bit more on political reform at home, they might give their democracy a better chance. China's political model will never supplant electoral democracy because, unlike the latter, it doesn't pretend to be universal. It cannot be exported. But that is the point precisely. The significance of China's example is not that it provides an alternative, but the demonstration that alternatives exist. Let us draw to a close this era of meta-narratives. Communism and democracy may both be laudable ideals, but the era of their dogmatic universalism is over. Let us stop telling people and our children there's only one way to govern ourselves and a singular future towards which all societies must evolve. It is wrong, it is irresponsible, and worst of all, it is boring. Let universality make way for plurality. Perhaps a more interesting age is upon us. Are we brave enough to welcome it?
Okay. All right.
Let's cut it there. Yeah, I just want to really quick clarify what I just said. This was on Bloomberg News. China jails almost 50 steel executives for faking emissions data. So, you know, with their they're tackling their pollution and smog problem. And obviously you have these private, you know, big business, you know, trying to fake the numbers to you know, make more profits. And China's cracking down on them.
Faking numbers. But that's something that would never happen in the first place in America. I mean, like Fauci and the CDC and all these health departments, they would never fake any numbers. So,
no, but not by any means. America can do no wrong. My country, right or wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah.
Okay, we have just a few minutes left on the other side of the break. I want to talk about the meritocracy issue. So that's what we'll get to.
Right back. Und die Sonne uns sagt, der Tag liebe weiß, oder eiskalt die Nacht. Bestaunt sind die Gesichter, doch nur ist unser Sinn, ja unser Sinn.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
We are back. All right, so meritocracy. We don't talk much about that in our democracy, but I don't know, does Joe Biden or Brandon or Chlamydia or AOC or it's even outside of politics, Sean Hannity, these people, are they really the best that our society has to offer?
Far from it. they're the dregs of society. I mean,
it's really hard to have strict meritocracy because who's the judge? But China has this extremely long history of it. And you know, the Mandarin, we talk about Mandarin Chinese. Well, what is Mandarin? What is a Mandarin? A Mandarin was a civil servant who was selected by means of a test of knowledge, a test of merit. And this, the civil service examination is something that originated in China. I'd like to say 2000 years ago, more or less. It's kind of a Confucian thing. And the British, when the British started operating in China in a big way in the mid, like the 1830s or so, 1830s, 1850s, they studied the Chinese civil service system. Not that they thought that China was necessarily superior to Britain, but they did have to acknowledge that the Chinese Empire had a lot of staying power and had to have been doing something right. And these civil service examinations, which had originated in ancient China, they were examined, they were looked at, and used as a model for the British civil service system, and then a couple of decades later for the American civil service system, which had been operating up until the 1870s in a spoils system. Whoever got elected president, for instance, would just employ their own supporters, and that would be the new postmaster or the new worker in the Department of Interior or whatever. And the civil service reform, which was a big deal, carried out by, the likes of Presidents Grant and Hayes and Garfield and Chester A. Arthur. It was a big deal. And not that it was perfect, but it was an improvement. And of course, you know, our civil service has been kind of corrupted, but still you do have these examinations. One last thing, getting into colleges in the Orient, in China, Japan, Korea, is very strictly based on entrance examinations. And we had that 100 years ago in America, but it's kind of gone by the wayside now. So before we play this last Chinese New Year song, any final comments?
Well, it's clear that East Asia is based on meritocracy, and you get into a profession based on your skills and your merits and not based on how you feel like it is in the West. And East Asia is clearly the future, so long as the American empire doesn't explode. And if America wants to also be part of that future, well, they need to shape up their own system and not be so lousy and be more meritocratic instead of what we have now. Anyway, happy Chinese New Year. And we have a special song we want to play.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.